Hello, podcast friends. Today, I put together a bonus episode with two of my friends that are basically do the same work as I do. They are social media managers and consultants. They have really positively influenced me, and they have great perspective on the world of social media marketing. And many of you have probably at this point watched the film on Netflix called The Social Dilemma. It has really forced us, I think, especially in this heavy political season, to step back and think about what social media might be doing to us negatively, you know, how it's influencing us, how it's controlling us. Now, if you haven't watched the film, I highly recommend it. But today's conversation revolves around this film, and I wanted to get the perspective from actual practitioners about social media and about their interpretation and perspective of some of the data and some of the facts that were brought to the surface in this film, The Social Dilemma. So if you haven't watched the film, this conversation might be a little out of context for you, but either way, it's all about social media. It's all about social media health. It's all about social media in a positive and a negative light, and how we can make sure that we are using social media for good. Please watch the film, The Social Dilemma, if you have not yet done that. And I hope you enjoy my conversation today with Shannon McKinstry and Emily Schwabach of the Social Squad Society.
Today I am joined by two of my very close virtual friends, Shannon McKinstry and Emily Schwabach. They are the co-founders of the Social Squad and the Social Squad Society. I really like these two because they are preaching the good news about social media, and I want to talk today about some of the bad news that the recent film, The Social Dilemma, brought to the surface in a good way, in a very informative and helpful way. But they're on the podcast today because I do think that these folks are the kind of people that you want to be following on social media. So without giving away too much about them, Emily, Shannon, thanks for being here today. Shannon, let me start with you. Tell me about actually how you and Emily met, because I think this is kind of cool.
Well, thanks for having us, Chris. We're super pumped to be here. Emily and I met through a hashtag on Instagram, and we bonded actually over what Emily likes to coin gross marketing tactics of people on Instagram. She shared something, and I'm pretty sure I found her through the Keep Social Media Social hashtag. And, you know, I was just looking around her stories, looking at her grid, and I was like, okay, she's a mom, she's in marketing, cool. And then her stories, I was like, okay, yeah, she's my friend now. We have to be friends. And it went from there. And, you know, just like even what we tell everyone, you know, social media, it's a long game. People want to get to know you. It takes a little bit to trust the person. And we just started kind of DMing and bonding over the marketing tactics that we see a lot of business owners doing on Instagram that aren't, in our opinion, correct. And then she very boldly.
It was aggressive, Chris. I'll just be honest. It was aggressive and very fast. It's like how I dated. It was too much too fast, but she liked it, just like my husband. It was great.
Yeah, the same. Like, let's go. So she was like, do you want to start a Facebook group? And I was like, oh, sure. Hi, do you have a middle name? What's your deal? Like, who are you? Where do you live? No. And we had a Zoom call, and it all went from there.
That's awesome. I love that. And Emily, tell me about like after you guys really fell head over heels for one another.
Yes.
What was next? Tell me about we were talking about it before I hit record here, but tell me about kind of the evolution of the social squad and even into the social society. How did you and Shannon develop this community?
It's so funny where we are now because we never could have predicted it. It was not in the plan. We call ourselves Team Messy Action. When we see an opportunity, we just start creating and we go, and we don't think too much about it. We kind of go and then build it while we're on our way. As our free Facebook group began to grow, which was what we just wanted to have a space to help people figure this out. And after a few months of really crazy growth, I remember Shannon making a Canva graphic for our 200 people. And we did a huge challenge for it. We were beyond excited. We couldn't even fathom that 200 people wanted to be in this Facebook group with us. We were just so excited. And then once we did that challenge in January of 2019, everyone loved that challenge. And we're like, okay, we'll do another one. And so each month we would do a challenge, and then people began to want to work with us one-on-one. And that was actually new for Shannon. She would just manage, and she was like, all right, I'll start consulting. And I'm like, okay, let's do this. So then we thought, well, could we work together? What would be the price point of us working with these people, both of us together, that would make sense for us? And we felt like the price point was so high for it to work that we thought, what could we create that would be a little bit more manageable? And so on the way of that thinking, we hosted our first live event. We met for the first time ever and hosted the event that day. I flew to DC. We have a video. We should actually share that on our Instagram soon, because it's the best. They're just crying and laughing. Shannon snorting that laugh. It's amazing. And we hosted our live event, and it was amazing. And we had all of this content creation planned, and everyone was so into the branded photo shoots that we were offering that we scrapped it, threw it in everyone's bags, and we're like, we're not, this is just a party for, it's a safe space for all these people who have been talking to each other on Instagram, in our Facebook group, connecting, growing. It's just a place for them to hang out. They just wanted to meet each other. But it's kind of awkward and weird to like fly and meet someone for the first time. Not everyone's willing to be as crazy as we are. Yeah. And so we gave them that safe space of, here, it's this event, let's do this. But it just goes to show that we just let our audience, our people, lead the way. Mm-hmm. So after that, when people were still wanting to work with us, we're like, we got to figure this out. So that's when we came up with our membership. We wanted it to be really low cost, but high touch. They get both of us. We just love serving our members, and that's where we both are similar, in that we want to serve. We want to serve our audience. We want to serve our people. Yes, financially, it's fantastic. It's great that we have been able to build something doing something we love. But it's never really been about the money for us, because we could have made a course. We could have done a tag team consulting and charged thousands of dollars. And our goal is not to make a ton of money. Our goal is to reach as many people as we can, because we want to stop the problems that we see with social media, with the gross sales tactics, with the just the hey girl messages, the not people meeting people and people connecting to people, that human connection. We just don't see it happening. And we kind of want to just get as many people as we can and tell them to do it the right way. So that's kind of a long-winded explanation of Shannon and I, but we've always just let our people tell us where to go, and we've followed their lead.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly, I mean, that's the reason you guys are perfect to speak into this film, because that is a beautiful example of how social media should work, right? The connections made online, developed, nurtured relationships, then become lasting relationships, friendships, in-person events. Like, that is, that's how it should work in an ideal world. And that's exactly how I, you know, also organically kind of discovered the two of you, is because I too was like, just found, I think, Shannon on a hashtag, started following her content, connected her, like figured out, okay, who's Emily. I watched all of this go down with your event and everything. Like, I have been kind of like on the outside looking in, watching your community grow. And then, I mean, I've had a couple phone calls with Shannon, a couple DMs with Emily, and you guys have been super helpful, and never really have met in person, obviously, but Emily's in Indiana, Shannon's for now in DC, and I'm in Erie, Pennsylvania. So it's like, this is how it should work. And that's why I wanted to get the three of us together today. Cause I feel like as somebody who lives in the social media space, like you guys, I felt after watching the film that we should be the ones speaking into it and helping people feel okay about it, and also giving people the education and information they need to know about social media. So I guess, Shannon, when you watched the film, how many of your friends, like, because I feel like maybe it's just me, but so many people were like, have you watched it yet, Chris? We can't wait to hear what you think. In your circle, Shannon, like, how many of your friends were like, so you still gonna do what you do? Like, did people want to know like what you thought about social media right away?
So it's funny, I really thought I was going to get like blown up, people asking me about it, and I didn't. And I've been the one telling people to go watch it. Like, I think people are just like, oh, I know. They think they know what it's going to be about. But I'm like, no, 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 no. because really the first like 20 minutes or so, I'm nodding along like, yeah, they're tracking. Yeah, they want us addicted. Yeah, duh, duh, duh. And then it goes to this whole other thing. And I'm like, oh, we're really going there. And dang, this is a lot scarier than a lot of us realize. So I think a lot of people actually, like everyone needs to watch it. And I've put on Facebook before. I know I mentioned it somewhere. I think on someone's post, I was like, you really should watch it. I've been encouraging people to watch it. Cause even my husband, it was my husband and my father-in-law, we were watching it together. And Ryan was like, ooh, like, is this going to hurt your business? Yeah. And I was like, well, I hope not, because we can be the solution in a way if each of us use it and we are aware, as long as we're educated, that we need to be cautious and understand how these social media platforms work. And, you know, and Emily and I tell our members all the time, like, we always encourage them, like, Instagram will do you favors if people stick around on your story. Instagram will do you favors if people linger on your posts. More people will see it, the more people are addicted to your content. But it's not that Instagram's like, yay, Shannon. It's like, thank you. You're getting people to stay on our app. So they're rewarding us. Instagram uses us, right? But it's marketing. It's just, it's, you know, so it's kind of funny you asked that, because I'm like, I thought I would get blown up. And yeah. I think a lot of people haven't really seen it. So I've been telling people to go watch it more so just to stay informed about like what these apps are really doing behind the scenes. But there are people like Emily, there's Emily and I and you as well, who are here to kind of help people navigate it in a healthy way.
Yeah.
Because it's not going away.
Right. Right. And Emily, when you watched it, what was your initial reaction? Like, what was your gut reaction when you saw the film? What went through your mind when it was over? I'd just love to get your initial reaction.
My initial reaction was gut punch, to be honest. Because I was like, wow, okay, what am I part of the solution or am I part of the problem?
Yep.
And I was talking about it with Shannon this morning, and even my mom. And my mom was actually the first to tell me, but you're doing it right. You're doing it the right way, Emily. You and Shannon are teaching people to do this in a good way. And you're promoting breaks, and you're promoting to be, you know, genuine and not to be gross, as I like to say, very bluntly. And that made me feel so much better, because it's true. I am feeling like I'm part of the right side of this, and Shannon and what we're doing and our mission and the community that we've built. And I think back to quarantine, and we were all really struggling once that happened. And the fact that we said, you know what, let's just do a daily Zoom call. I think that helped all of us in our community stay mentally okay during a time where mentally we should not have been. So I feel like there's different things that, yes, we need to be made aware of, but I felt better as I kind of thought about it that, okay, I'm on the right side of this. It's not all bad, like doom and gloom, like you said. And so that made me feel a little bit better about it.
Yeah. And speaking of mental, you know, mental health, Shannon, like, what do you, like, let's shift to personal here. Do you make a living off social media, as we all do. How do you make sure that you are filtering some of what you see? Cause you are preaching that message to people, but surely that you also have to put up some safeguards for yourself to not let social media affect your mental health. Cause one of the crazy statistics from the film was that like a 5,000 person study found that higher social media usage correlated with self-reported declines in mental and physical health. What do you do personally that you obviously tell your clients and your community to kind of safeguard your mental well-being as you consume social media day in and day out?
I love this question. So it's funny, because what it's like right away, what I want to say is like, this is why I'm rarely on Facebook anymore, because my feed doesn't give me what I want to see. And I think what one thing you can kind of take away from, like a gift and a curse of it, is that they want us addicted to these apps, right? But these apps only want to show us content we want to see, because they know if we continue to see content we want to see, chances are we're not going to put our phones down. And that's why I think I'm so addicted, not addicted, but I love, Instagram's my happy place. I don't see any content that upsets me. I don't see content that makes me second guess my beliefs. Instagram shows me like on my Explore page, I always joke, it's really funny memes. It's lots of funny parenting memes. It's lots of uplifting motivational quotes because Instagram is tracking what I'm engaging with. And I'm sharing lots of inspirational quotes. I'm sharing lots of funny memes. So when I go to Instagram and I scroll, and as long as you don't engage with content that upsets you or brings up certain emotions that aren't healthy, they'll go away. You can train, but I think a lot of people don't understand. And if they're already in a bad headspace, they're probably going to go down those rabbit holes. And then they're going to end up somehow on, and you, they take you through it in the movie. Yeah. You know, you like one Facebook group or you join one Facebook group and the algorithm says, and honestly, it's like they made it to be the bad guy and they need to be more responsible about this, but it's just the algorithm is just the machine telling the person, oh, you like this, then you'll like this. So the fact that I like silly, funny memes and uplifting quotes to help people grow, then that's what I see. So for me, I don't really get off the app with my mind going, like I just go on to the next thing. But Facebook, I haven't really trained my Facebook to show me what I want to see. TikTok, you can even, right? You can like, I think you just hold your finger down and say not interested, or at least on Reels, you can do that on Instagram. You can tell these algorithms what you don't want to see. So that's one thing I remember even when we did a TikTok training for our members, we said the first thing was go in and tell TikTok what you want to see. And I think as long as we keep our feeds full of uplifting, whatever it is that we love. But I have friends who all they follow is politics and all they follow is the riots and all that, you know, so like, I mean, or not follow, but that's what they get in their feed. So they are just consuming doom and gloom all day long. And it actually took me back to when I worked at CNN and I was there for Katrina, the tsunami and the panic attacks and the anxiety attacks I had. It's like, if you consume that stuff, you really think that's all there is. But then you go take a walk outside and it's like, okay, there's certain, let me worry about the pocket of my neighborhood today instead of what's going on over there. So with all that said, for me, Instagram is my happy place, but I think it's because I've trained it to be so. But you can do that too.
Yeah. So you're saying you can kind of control what you consume. Like we think these algorithms are like, you know, they're uncontrollable, but you're saying is actually it's as simple as just telling the algorithm in your feed what you like and don't like. If you double tap on something you don't really like, but you feel like maybe you should like it just so you can take a stance or support somebody, mm-hmm. you're going to see more of that. It's kind of a simple concept. So that's how you protect yourself. Emily, you're a mother, you know, you I'm sure are inundated with ads and imagery that says, am I measuring up to doing all this? And what I love about your content is it's so real. And I'm not a mother, but my wife is, and I'm like, this is what she needs to see more of, real moms, working moms, doing the best they can. How do you safeguard yourself from seeing the stuff that might make you want to compare your mental and physical health to other people?
Yeah, that just great questions. So I like to utilize the mute button on stories posts as much as possible. And I think that Shannon and I, we say it all the time, we are people pleasers. We want to play nice. We want to be friends with everyone. We don't want anyone to not like us. However, the mute button is glorious for people pleasers because you can simply mute these people. You don't have to unfollow them. You can just mute them because I think at the beginning of quarantine, especially, it was like Shannon and I said, I mean, schedules, color-coded, here's what we're going to do. This is what I'm doing at my house and it's going to be great. And it was just so many options. And I just utilized that mute button. And I thought, what would be good for my family? What would be good for my child? So when this all started, you know, I thought, okay, if we're all on our screens at the same time, and then we're all off our screens at the same time, that makes sense to us. But, you know, some people would be like, oh, that's not great. And people have a very, when the walls are down and they're not conversing in person, it's easier for people to give their judgments and give their opinions. And I have learned to, when those things happen, as your audience grows, you get more people who aren't going to agree with what you're doing. So as that happens to me and to Shannon, as our audiences grow, we're kind of like, all right, but are we good? I think we're good. And so I think just keeping in mind what works for you and your family and knowing, I know I do share my children on stories. However, my oldest, would love to be a performer. I know he would. And so I do have those conversations with him where I'm like, buddy, do you want me to show this or not? And he's like, yeah, because I want Johnny Depp to see that I want to be Jack Sparrow. And I want to see how, let him see how good my, now, will Johnny Depp see it? Probably not. However, he's okay. He's already okay with that because I know where he wants to go in life. So I think there's so many different parenting, like, should I have them on or not? Should I do this or not? Should I have them be on screens or not? And I think you have to think about your family and your kids and just know what, and trust your gut. You know, you were given these kids for a reason and you know what's best with it for them yourself. So that's kind of what has helped me as a mom with all of these different opinions and viewpoints, is just reminding myself that I know what's best and that I can see what's best for my family.
I love it. It's really practical. Practical. I love the mute button. That's actually a great idea. Cause my wife unfollowed somebody recently and she said to me, if I like unfollow them, are they going to get a notification? Cause I don't want to hurt their feelings. I'm like you said, you don't want your people pleasers. I sound the same way. And I'm like, no, they won't. It's a beautiful thing. You just walk away from them and they'll never know that you unfollowed them. So, yeah, it's a great piece of advice. It's simple. And speaking of children, like I love the illustration and talking about kids, because one of my biggest takeaways after watching this film, and it was probably kind of orchestrated this way, is that I'm on my phone and I look down and my son is playing, you know, with his toys. And I thought to myself, like, right now, he doesn't know what Instagram or Facebook is. He just knows that in this moment, he's playing with this toy by himself. And I'm on my phone because I'm locked into Instagram and Facebook and social media. And I kind of was envious of, like, my son has no idea yet, but he will someday, because our kids will never live in an era where there wasn't social media. So Shannon, you have a daughter, you've got your second on the way. Congrats, by the way. What are you thinking in your mind and in your heart about how to introduce social media in a healthy way? Because we can't avoid it. Our kids are going to know what these apps are, especially us when we work in that field. What are you thinking? What are you, you know, processing internally about social media as it applies to your children?
Yeah, it's difficult because I already know, like can't, you're not getting a social media account. She wants a YouTube channel, and I'm like, absolutely not. Plus, guess who's got to run that channel? Me. So, because I've got so much time on my hands. No, but you know, she knows what Instagram. But you know, she like. She asks me all the time, like, mommy, what do you do? Like, I don't get it. And I'm like, yeah, a lot of people don't. But what it is I was like, you know, those advertisements you see on TV, like I help businesses advertise, you know, that's the way. So asking that question got my wheels turning. Cause I'm like, well, she'll most likely see these apps as a way to market people. So again, almost kind of like my sister being Gen Z, which we talked about a little bit earlier about the Generation Z, they're a lot more skeptical. And I think our kids are going to grow up a little more skeptical because they know this isn't just sharing information. It's trying to manipulate you a lot of the news stuff, especially. And then when it comes to companies, it's a way to advertise, it's marketing. So instead of, you know, believing everything, it's like, well, and that's again, why we tell our members, like, social media is a long game. You got to gain trust because they need full transparency on these apps. This isn't a commercial on TV, but what Cam knows so far about Instagram is that mommy helps people market their businesses to bring in revenue, and, you know, not those words obviously, but, so it's kind of, it'll be interesting to see how everything plays out, what platforms are popular in a few years. But I think kind of educating your kids from a standpoint that, like, this isn't all real life. A lot of this is marketing. A lot of this is advertisements. You know, the toy you get in the mail might not always be what it looks like on TV, you know, and that's why you got to, again, work hard to gain that trust over time. But I also want her to use it the way, or both my girls eventually, to use these platforms to be kind, spread joy, spread love. And that's where I always try to see the joy in social media, as difficult as it can be sometimes. But again, it's just educating that. I think it just comes to educating them. Like every ad you see, you know, she already does like Roblox sometimes, and we have to shut that down because, you know, or if she's on the app store, a creepy ad will come up with a gun. And it's like, where are these things coming from? So, and she'll come up and tell us right away, luckily, but I'm just like, no more phones. You know, we've set the precedent, like she can do YouTube Kids and that's about it. But that's just a long-winded way to say we're trying to already kind of educate her, dropping kind of breadcrumbs along the way. Like, you know, we don't really know who these people are behind the screen and you can't trust everything you see. And, but it's scary, but I do know she's not getting any sort of YouTube channel platform, anything for a long time, because they think it's just a screen where they can see themselves and maybe a couple people. They don't realize the multitude, the scale of all of it.
Right.
But I think we as parents have to continue to educate ourselves. It starts with us. Like we have to, I'm sure there's even books out there now and I would love to get one about how to educate your children. But I really think just coming from a place of like, this isn't all real life. Setting, obviously, like what Emily and I do, you know, setting boundaries with how much time your kids are exposed to these things and things like that.
Sure. Emily, how do you, exactly. You just have to talk to them. Right. And yeah. My son's still like a little too young to get it, but Emily, you've got three boys, right? What are the conversations in your house? Do they ever ask you like Shannon's daughter does, like, what are you doing on your phone, mommy? Like that's gut wrenching sometimes, I'm sure.
Oh, it's, can you put the phone down? And so, I actually adopted something last year that I need to put, you know, quarantine kind of threw that away because I was just trying to survive. But where I would have a block of time where I'd be completely off my phone. And I think that that's something that I need to just do more. And I can preach it all day, but I need to do it myself. But sometimes, you know, you get caught up and you work in these little 2-minute pockets of the day because you're just trying to work at from home with your kids all the time. But Will is my 6-year-old and he knows that mommy helps people grow their businesses online to make money for their families so that they can do fun things because that's what I do. And so he sees it as that, but he knows when to, I can see it in his face when I'm taking a picture of us, he'll be like, but the funny thing is I actually talked to my mom again about this. And I said, is that so bad that he's almost conditioned to do that? And she goes, honey, you did it since you were 2, 3. It's not, I don't think it's this social media guilt thing where he's performing for these people. He's just performing for a camera because he has you in him. You are a performer. He is a performer. Bo, my second, won't do anything for anyone. So it's, I think some people get so hung up on, oh, I just had the phone up and they started posing. And that just might be the kid's personality. So you don't need to like take it so hard on yourself that like, oh, I've conditioned them to be exposed on this platform and they know when the camera's on to do this or that. But that's the kind of the extent of it. He knows that he can reach people that you wouldn't be able to in person on this app. He knows that Miss Shannon does not live in our city. He knows that we live on Zoom together. And I think he honestly thinks it's kind of cool that you can make friends that aren't just in your school and aren't just in your city. And so I think that's showing him that you can make friends from all over the world using that. And that's another benefit of social media is that you meet people that you wouldn't think you would be able to. So that's kind of what the viewpoint is here in our house.
It's going to be different for everybody. Like it goes back to being honest about it. You know, like you two are, you're just saying here's what we struggle with, here's what we're trying to do to educate our kids. You know, for me, it's like my son thinks everything's FaceTime. So like if my wife calls on her way home from work, like he runs up to the phone and wants a show or something, and it's really hard for him to actually cope with it's not always this, but that's what they're used to, especially the COVID era. Like we're always on these FaceTime calls, we're always doing Zoom. But it's hard for the kids. That's what they're exposed to all the time. So explaining something different, like, oh, this is called an old fashioned phone call. And it's just like audio, like they're just like, he blows his mind. So that's what's happening in our house when it comes to like tech.
Yeah.
It's going to be different for everybody, but I think it's important that yeah, we know our kids. Look at how much social media has evolved in the last 10 years since we started really using it. I can't even imagine what it looks like in 10 years from now for our children. It makes me both nervous and excited. But yeah, I think people like us need to have those conversations with our kids. And especially we're at an advantage, I think, because we do it day in and day out. I think I'm looking forward to those conversations like Shannon and Emily are having with their kids, explaining what they do, seeing if there's an interest there. But let me just ask this question. As social media practitioners and experts that the two of you are, what do you think our role is in all this? And let me just pull a quote. Tristan Harris, the main kind of guy from that film, The Social Dilemma, he's kind of leading this movement as a former Google tech employee. He said, if something is a tool, it genuinely is sitting there waiting patiently to be used. If something is not a tool, it's demanding things from you. It's seducing you. It's manipulating you. It wants things from you. Do you think social media is a tool for you? Now, obviously the answer is yes, because you make a living off it. But as social media practitioners, what do you think we can do to keep that phone, that mobile device, as a tool and not something that's truly like demanding something from us? Because that isn't a tool. That's something dangerous, something that's seductive and taking our attention and our time away from our kids. What do you think is the best thing you can do as a practitioner that lives this day in and day out to make sure you recognize that concept?
So the thing that I saw actually when the credits were rolling was to take off that notification settings. Mm-hmm. I think something we teach our members and our audience is to really set a time for this app. And just like the mute button, just like, sometimes the unfollow, you control the content you put out, but you also control the content that you absorb yourself. Uh-huh. And you control when you're on this phone. So it's kind of another really great reminder that you need to be in control of your phone. Your phone does not control you. So if you take off those notifications, which I think I might actually do, because I'm like, that might be great for me to say, okay, I'm going to answer DMs from this time to this time, and then I'm going to be done from this time to this time. Make it clear to my audience, make it clear to my clients, to our society members, really. And I think that, will they be upset about it? That's just, you need to control yourself and you need to protect your own mind and your mental stability. And so I think that turning off of the notifications, that ding, take that off, and then you get control back and you can use it the way you want to use it, not the way it wants it to use. It wants you to use it. You have to remain in control, bottom line.
Yeah, for sure. Shannon, are you struggling? What are your ways? Because you're a busy person as well. How do you separate yourself?
Yeah. And it goes back to Instagram is my happy place. And I think it probably sounds crazy to some people. But it's where I connect with people. It's where I get to teach people. I come alive. I share information that I hope and pray will help people go along with their day, their week, et cetera, right? So I've always used social media for connection, to laugh, to empower, to encourage. So I think, again, even, with this heavy political season, I kept saying to everyone, like, it all starts with every single one of us. Kind of like what Emily said, like, we're in control. We just need to take responsibility. And I think the problem where everything is gone really comes down to the fact that Instagram, Facebook, even LinkedIn, it's a chance to escape for a little bit. It's a distraction. And unfortunately, those distractions lead to rabbit holes. And if you're absorbing the wrong content, next thing you know, you will have an anxiety attack. Like, I've been there, I've done it. I've gone down the rabbit holes, especially with all the stuff that's been out there the past with conspiracy theories, and all of a sudden I'm like borderline hyperventilating, and I would have to text one of my girlfriends who always calms me down in these situations. And she's like, what would you tell a client? And I'm like, that it's probably not true, or that, let's remember this is social media and it's not as regulated as it should be. but really, like Emily said, it's just setting a boundary and just taking responsibility. We have to realize, we have to educate ourselves. We have to educate our children. We have to educate people around us. I was telling Emily, you know, right now we're living with our in-laws as we wait to move to North Carolina. And every day my mother-in-law is taking like 6 quizzes on Facebook. And I keep telling her, I'm like, do you know the information they're gathering from you? Like, you know, and the three of us, anyone, you know, listening to this or in your community, Chris too, it's like, use the information you have to help other people. Now, again, we can't aggressively go to people like, delete your Facebook. Like, that's not going to work. But just be aware and help others use all your social networks to educate, serve, entertain, inspire, empower, and all those good things. And even with the election, I feel like leading up to it, I was like, you guys, put your dang phones down. I mean, if you're on the verge of a panic attack, we didn't grow up getting constant news reminders.
Right.
So while everything looks so scary, it's not as different as it was years ago. It's just, we get all the scary stories from every city opposed to just our local community now, or like why, you know, news. And again, it takes me back to those CNN days of pure on panic attacks. Cause I'm like, this is basically what it feels like. You're getting constant news and you have to face it on all these screens, and it's just not healthy. So you have to set boundaries with yourself. And that's what Emily and I were talking about with our members the other day. Just like, decide your office hour, your Instagram office hours or your LinkedIn office hours, but also do your best to make sure that your feed is full of content that feels good to you. And like I've said, I have friends who, I'll even like look over when they're scrolling. I'm like, no wonder you're down and out. It's just depressing news after depressing news. I'm like, mine makes me happy. It's an actual escape. I think we need to go back to the days where social media was a bit more of an escape and a connection tool. Mm-hmm. Like you said, tool. It's a tool to connect with people, keep up with others, look at their baby pics, laugh at the dog who can't get on the couch. Like, you know, it's like, we need to get back there and then share information, of course. But always be skeptical of what you see.
Yeah. No, that's a great word. I think you're right. It's really, I know that, I think the two of you follow a lot of Gary Vee's content. I like his perspective on stop blaming the tools. They don't help, but sometimes they do help. And perhaps it's more of an internal issue with us as a society, as a culture, that we can't blame Instagram for the constant comparison. Because I can remember being 10 or 11 years old before there was even such a thing as a smartphone, and comparing the brand of jeans I had on to somebody who had a nicer brand. Or I'm sure, you know, like the hair, all this stuff, like we've compared ourselves to others for years. I definitely have always done that. Does social media amplify it a little bit? Sure, but I'm choosing to let it. And I think that's where a lot of people, that's where they run into the problems, is they're choosing to let social media create that comparison. And then it's an easy out for them to say, well, I wouldn't compare myself if I wasn't scrolling through Instagram, so I'm just going to delete Instagram. I don't think that's the right solution. It doesn't sound like you guys do. You know, and Emily, one more question. I know that you have your little guy awake now. This is as real as it gets, by the way. I love it.
Who knows what sound he's going to produce? So
yes, I didn't have any questions. Didn't have any questions prepared for Ford. I should have had a few. I'd love to get his perspective on some things. But let me wrap up by asking each one more question, Emily. Where do you see social media heading? Shannon kind of alluded to it and said she wants to see it get back to a place where it's just an escape. But in the social squad society, and your social squad circle of all the people that you work with every day, where do you think in, you know, 5 or 10 years, like what is the direction that social media marketing is headed? You know, where do you think it's going?
Well, it's not so much that where I think it is, it's where I hope it goes, because I hope more people will be kind of on our side of things, where it's those real human connections and the genuine marketing strategies and the servant-led businesses, where you are using this tool to help people instead of manipulate them, and this quick instant gratification that Shannon and I Oh, we talk about it all the time. All of our clients, members, different people, they want to see this turnaround that's so fast. And, you know, yes, you can go on Netflix and watch a show right then. It's almost like I wish we could go back to like, hey, Sunday night is when we watch this show, because then it would make us, for all the things in our life, that it'll remind us that it takes time to do things. So I think what I hope is that it goes back to time. Things take time. Success takes time. Genuine, real connections can be found online, and that you can begin to trust people again. I hope that that's where things start to swing once people get more educated, and watching The Social Dilemma is one way to do that. But I just hope that people become more trusting of different people that they meet online, only because I know my life has been so greatly impacted in a positive way by meeting Shannon, by having the friendships that I've formed. I think that that could be so good for other people to have, especially right now in a time where we can't get together in real life. That's kind of the way I wish things would go. So that's what our mission is, and we're just going to keep plugging away to do it, but that's what I hope.
I love it. And Shannon, I'd like to wrap up by just letting you talk about why people, I guess, make a pitch for why the Social Squad Society and your community, what is the value they're getting as it kind of pertains to Emily's hope for social media? Because this is obviously translated to your community. Why should people come and join the Social Squad and be a part of your community?
So the Social Squad is really, like Emily said earlier, it's just a safe space. Like, you can come ask a question. No question is DUMB, sorry, in case any parents are watching with their kids nearby. But it really is, it's somewhere where you can be, we are very honest, we are very real. And, you know, when things like Social Dilemma or, you know, anything pops up that is a hot topic, we make sure to address it with our members and talk about it. And like I said, you know, with social media being an escape, and that's honestly, I think that's the success, excuse me. I think that is the reason TikTok is so successful. It's just funny, relatable content. Mm-hmm. And that's what people are really craving. And that's why a lot of people are going there, because you don't get as much of the other stuff. Mm-hmm. And our Facebook group is very similar. You don't get doom gloom. You don't get guilt trips. You don't get, you guys better do this, that, and the third, or you're not going to win. Like, we want to simplify social media so that when you get on these apps every day, every other day, whatever it is, they aren't stressing you out. Like, it needs to be something you use and are excited about. We always say, like, you do not need to be everywhere. Pick one or two platforms that make you happy. Pick one or two platforms where you connect with your people, and let's get back to basics. Let's get back to sharing our day, documenting our days, sharing our tips, sharing what we know, and just being a human being and kind and all that good stuff. But the Social Squad kind of embodies all of that. It's, you know, our members get on, they'll tell us a funny story that happened. They'll get on and say, you know, share their win. They'll ask questions. No promoting is allowed in our free Facebook group. You know, we do a post every once in a while saying, hey guys, tell us what you're working with. But it's just a happy, safe space that's there to connect and be human and be honest, transparent, and just all around, like, have fun on social media. Like, yes. we've had people find business partners in our Facebook group. We've had people, we've hired people within our Facebook group for ourselves. You know, it's just a great place to network in a genuine, authentic way. And then our society, which is the membership that has come off of it, is just, that's where you really get more coaching and mentoring. So if you're in need of that, and again, it's just more tight-knit community. But if you're curious, definitely jump in the Social Squad Facebook group, because it's a very welcoming place and you will not be judged for anything.
And the other thing, Shannon, too, is that, you know, this year kind of put us back a bit, but the other thing that we provide is getting social off social.
Yes.
So our goal, we love that we are going to hopefully one day start doing some more events where we can give people a space to come that's safe and that's comfortable, where you can meet these people, these connections that you've built in your DMs, in your Facebook messages, and meet in person and start a real offline friendship and or business partnership or whatever you had. So that's something that we hope for our future as well.
Yes, I can't wait to get back to seeing our people in real life.
And seeing you. We've only seen each other twice in real life. So
I know.
Wow. That's remarkable. That's the beauty of social media. And if you're discouraged and you're writing off your Facebook and your Instagram and all your social things, let Shannon and Emily be a shining example of why those things still matter, and how they can be used within some of the practical tips and ways to control the parameters around your social apps. They can still be used to create meaningful relationships, like Shannon and Emily's and all the members and their society and their community. I'm a member. I represent very few male members, but I am a proud member. Everybody in that group has been so valuable to me. Anytime I have a question, it's like the first place I go to ask, because I get all kinds of valuable information and help from for free. I mean, this is the social squad free Facebook group that I'm getting a lot of really helpful guidance from. And Shannon and Emily have been great mentors to me. So I really appreciate you guys, what you're doing in the social media space. I appreciate your insight into this film. I hope that people who watch the film will follow up by listening to today's episode, because I think it's the perfect balance between, you know, it's not so bad, but you know, you should have some parameters and some filters. So thank you guys both. I really appreciate your time. You're the best. And I will make sure I put links to your both your Facebook group and the subscription, the monthly subscription-based group, in the show notes, because I really think that there's a lot of people out there that could certainly get a lot of value from you guys like I have. So thank you so much.
Oh, thanks, Chris. You're going to make me cry. We always cry. So.
Thank you, Chris. And we're just so thankful we've connected with you. This is just, let's keep the good vibes of social media going.
Got it. Yeah, I agree. I would love that. I appreciate you guys. Best of luck to everybody. I mean, Emily, you're doing it with three. I mean, man, you are a rock star. And Shannon, you're having a child and then moving. Like, that's crazy. You guys are
gold. We like to keep things.
Just keep it crazy. Keep it going.
I love it. Awesome. Well, I will, I'll edit this all up, and man, there's so much good stuff in here. I would like to pull a couple quotes and all that and send it to you. If there's anybody in your society that's, you know, might find value in this, they hear it every day from you guys, but definitely
love it.
Yeah, awesome.
And that was such a good convo. Chris, your questions were amazing.
Questions are so good.
Oh, thanks. I love doing this. Like, podcasting is perfect for me, because it's like, I just love talking to people and asking questions. And then it's like, oh, I can record this and people find value in this besides me. Okay, great. Like,
I know.
It just works for me. So
awesome. We had a podcast in the works one day.
About a year ago.
Rats.
Well, that's okay. Yeah, I mean, you guys, I can't imagine fitting anything else into your
life. We'll get to it one day.
One day.
When we're like 80. It wouldn't even be podcasts anymore. It would be like holograms.
Yeah. Or something. You're
right. That'll be cool. That would be awesome. We're probably not far from that. We're probably not.
No. Scary.
Awesome. Well, I will I'll let you guys go. I took an hour of your time. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Chris.
This is so fun. You're awesome.
It's good to see you both.
All right. Bye, Chris.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to today's episode. I really enjoyed my conversation with Shannon and Emily about this groundbreaking film, The Social Dilemma. Listen, if you haven't seen this film, you're going to want to watch it. It's on Netflix. I put a link to it in the show notes. If you don't have Netflix, please reach out to me. I will give you my login information, because you need to see this film. And if you are interested in continuing to have some discussion around some of the main topics in this film, please sign up for The Social Dilemma virtual screening. We are sponsoring that here at Revox Social, and Radius Cowork is actually hosting the event, all virtual, all through Zoom. We're going to have a panel. We're going to have some great discussion around the film. So please join us for that event. It's on Monday, November 23rd. There's a link to it in the show notes, or you can always go to radiusco.work/events/social-dilemma. Again, that's radiusco.work/events/social-dilemma. Join us for that virtual screening as we have some more discussion about the film and we break down some of the main topics and hear from some industry experts. I think you should be there. All right, guys, thanks so much. We'll talk again soon.